Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 201, episode 1 of The Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It is Tuesday, September 7th, 2021. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. I drank some dew today to see if I still feel salt shaker of cocaine. The only thing that's trill, the needle tears a hole, the old familiar sting. Try to kill COVID away, now my cum's not worth anything. That is courtesy of Lex Loogie. A little reference
what
to
vibe.
And you know
what
the
is
conspiracy.
With my cum?
What is with this shit, man? the market has collapsed. That's a reference to the conspiracy theory that if you get the vaccine, your cum won't be worth as much as if you don't. Yeah.
The new crypto.
New crypto, unvaccinated cum. I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Her name is Hosnier, the producer. She the ruler. You want these hands? She'll give them to you. Oh, Jack, he's the boss. Baja Blast on top. He's getting great views on his Havana TikTok. Miles Gray make the funny, see? Miles Gray gets the 420. Biking, here I go, eating like I know, drip on my shoes and my back, and I'm a Virgo, cause we are the TDZ. Okay, that's the Aqua Teen Hunger Force theme song, but all that, no, shout out to Hank Scipio, who came in real quick after the trending episode. He said, oh, you want to talk about Aqua Teen? How about a whole fucking AKA? So, love that one. And also, shout out to Schoolie D, who's the original artist behind that.
Yeah. Well, Miles, we are thrilled to be joined by a very funny comedian and writer who has written for Good Mythical Morning, Cracked, Reductress, and on season 3 of Brockmire. In 2020, she created the show Comedy Quarantine, which ran over 200 shows in 10 months and raised $20,000 for mutual aid and was voted social distance comedy show.
Are you reading my website?
Number one by Time Out LA. She co-wrote the short film I Think She Likes You, which played at Tribeca Film Festival. She hosts the great podcast You Can Tell Me Anything, released her debut album We're Still Doing This in April, recorded live on Zoom. She's just one of our favorite guests on TDZ, one of your favorite guests. Please welcome the brilliant and talented Teresa Lee!
What's up? Oh my gosh.
That was mortifying, you reading my website. But I do have an AKA, so...
All right, bring it.
Here we go, okay? All right, it's Teresa Lee, AKA in mid-Philadelphia since Tuesday in the hotel I potted most of my stay, filling out emails, no time for the pool, keeping my mask on because those are the rules, when a couple of texts told me there's a flash flood started by a tornado in the tri-state neighborhood. This Texas abortion law got me feeling all scared. I'm tired of feeling like my government is way beyond repair.
Oh,
hey.
Whoa.
Okay. Dun, 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 dun. Wow. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Like
that.
Well done.
Also,
well done.
Don't be so humble that you can't handle people bigging up your accomplishments. You know what I mean?
Just
you
reading can own those. Word for word my website.
I didn't read that off your website. I didn't read that off your website. That's just word on. I just asked some people. I asked who is Teresa Lee, okay. And that's what I got from them. So
it was just
I mean,
head out the window. He said, "Hey, that's just you."
That's just common knowledge.
All right. Thank you so much, Jack.
Picking
yeah,
you up.
Yeah.
Picking you
welcome,
up.
Welcome.
Yeah.
How is Philadelphia? Did you see any tornadoes while you were there? Did you look out the window?
We did. Well, this is I'm traveling with my dog and my boyfriend, and I was supposed to do the Punchline on Wednesday night, and then like a random bar show, and like we got these warnings on my phone that all of our phones were like flash flood, tornado, all this, and I was like, hey, maybe we should head out soon. And he just gave me the weirdest look like, did you see the warnings? Like, it's probably going to be like, I don't think people are going out at all. And I was like, oh, this is when you realize comedy is a disease. Because at no point was I like, oh, maybe I should cancel. It was like, oh, since they didn't cancel, I better get going. And he was like, I thought the plan was everyone stay inside.
We got to beat that tornado traffic, dude. We got to get out there.
We did. The Punchline show did get canceled. I did end up going to the bar show to, like, because my friend, actually Blake, who's been on the show, Blake Wexler, very funny, ran that show. We did walk through quite a bit of rain. It was fine. Everyone's safe. But I did realize, like, this is not worth it. What are we doing, you know, with our lives? But fortunately, we did not get lost in the tornado.
Okay, good.
Well, we are happy to have you here safe and sound in the indoors. We are going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a few of the things we're talking about. We're talking about something called functional disorders that may be behind the TikTok tick that people are coming down with, as well as Havana syndrome. We're going to just ask the question, what can we do for women in Texas? We'll talk about the new trailer for the movie Moonfall.
Yeah, we got to talk about that.
Hell yeah.
Fucking hell.
All of that, plenty more. But first, Teresa, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history?
Well, okay, this is going to be, for you know people who know me, I say confusing things every time I come. So maybe I don't even have to explain this, but is the umbilical cord the Tower of Babel?
Yeah, no, that's self-explanatory.
Wow.
I won't get too into it. As you know, I like to fall asleep to edibles, but this became a very clear thought in my mind. And I thought, surely this must be like, I'll Google it and it'll be, you know, at the very least a QAnon something, you know, but it's not like common knowledge, but it just feels like it makes sense to me because you're born speaking. Okay. To be honest, don't judge me, but I started doing this thing, not on purpose, but I like in half a sleep state, like, I go into baby talk. I don't like it. Okay. I've never been a fan of adults who do baby talk, but it's like when I'm almost like half asleep, you know, when you're like almost drunk because you're so sleepy, you're like, ah. I started talking like a baby and I was like, I wonder if babies, when they're born, they speak the universal language. And then we start learning so much that we change what we know. And that's why we think about the Tower of Babel being this like tower that gets knocked down. But actually, when you're a baby, you're connected and then it gets cut and then you're like cut away from the source. So that's where that came from. I was trying to like explain to myself and feel better that I wasn't like deteriorating into Benjamin Button. But alas, I think that might just be one of those weird, unhinged Teresa thoughts because I didn't really see a community of believers out there.
Yeah.
You're like Googling like somebody else has thought this, right?
I feel like the symbology is, I mean, like, and the Noah's Ark, the water breaking. I mean, come on. It's all
oh,
there,
hell yeah.
You know?
But the Babel's post-flood civilization.
Yeah, true. Right? But after you're
if I'm
out
gonna get
of
biblical
the womb,
here.
After you're out of the womb, the cord gets cut.
Right. And so that was the post-flood world trying to get to God by building the
yeah. I'm just right. You can't go back into, you can't go back up your mom's vagina. You got to keep living.
Dangerous quote.
yes. I think this is something very interesting. And I love this kind of thinking where you're really taken to the point where you're like, nah, like there could be like this universal thing that we were all in touch with. But then the second we enter the physical outside of the womb world, that's the confounding moment where God confuses us. Yeah. Scatters us across the world.
I will say, as weird as that sounds, if you look up pictures of astronauts floating in space, they do look like they
got that little cord. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like how you're basically doing a landscape check that someone does before they start a cult. You know, they're like, all right, anybody else? Oh, nobody's fucking with it. Okay, I got this one then. Come one, come all to my new babblography.
I call this cult, so this one is all about building people up and there's no Ponzi scheme, which is going to fail. It's a failed cult.
Yeah. You got to have a Ponzi scheme. Come on, Teresa.
Guys would rather spend their entire life becoming an astronaut and float in space than fix their relationship with their mothers. Am I right?
You know what I'm saying? I mean, I've said it before.
Am I right, ladies?
But we're just all little sperms trying to go to space. You know, it's like, just wait. Yeah. It'll happen. Don't pre-ejaculate Earth, you know? You don't need to be pre-cum of Earth.
Yeah.
Jeff Bezos.
Who actually looks like a sperm.
Jeff Bezos is the pre-cum of Earth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can just see you now, people laying flowers at your feet and you're just sitting there like in a big throne, like not speaking. And then like above you is a banner that just says, don't be the pre-cum of Earth. Yep. And they're like, yes, Teresa.
It's honestly wise words.
Yeah.
I like this vision you have, Miles. You said it, not me.
Yeah, that's fine. And I'll be like, what was the other woman who was really running homeboy shit in Wild Wild Country?
Oh,
remember there was the woman behind the scenes that was really pulling stunts, and that could be our relationship too. We'll talk off air. Sheila, thank you, super producer. I know you remember that because I was like, we're like, she's the goat.
Yeah, and then the other guy just got to be a junkie and like chill and be high the whole time. So who really won that?
Maybe we should switch that.
you know what I mean? I'm gonna go on record and say I'm anti-cult. Because these days everything's taken. I'm anti-cult and I'm definitely pro non-cult. Okay, any way you want to spin that. But I am pro give me money. I'm pro give me money and think for yourself.
So I'm pro. I'm pro cult money.
Yeah. If on your own you want to give me money and follow everything I say, that's on you, not me.
It's called a Patreon.
Yep.
Babies apparently cry in different languages, and I don't know if it's like the second they come out or if it's like an adaptive behavior, but like acoustic analysis of baby cries find that newborns whose mothers speak tonal languages such as Mandarin tend to produce more complex cry melodies. Swedish newborns that have pitch accent have more sing-songy cries, and then American cries are just, you know, flat and Metallica.
fried in McDonald's grease.
It's akin to Rob Zombie's Dragula.
That makes me feel good because, like, I want to be like, I'm not like most babies. I'm complex. I cry.
Complex tones.
Miss me with that sing-songy cry.
Yeah. What is something you think is overrated?
You know, I don't have one today. I thought about this and I'm on this, like, lately I've been, like, trying to just like re-challenge the binary in my head, like things aren't good or bad, black or white, which we know, but I really actually often do have things I'm like, that's overrated, and this time I couldn't think of one, so I was like, nothing, everything is rated. Like some things I don't like, but in my head they're not overrated, they're just like rated poorly, and that's
right.
So I got none today. I'm happy with, maybe overrated for me in a weird meta way is just like needing to find the bad in anything. Some things are just fine.
Wow.
I think
So just dunk on the whole show.
No. I think that I'm on a different, you know, maybe I'm speaking a different language.
I might just be on a higher plane than y'all. And that's fine for you, you know, and I'm not judging y'all.
Miles twisting my words.
Look, that's how I start my cult, you know, that's how I get them.
What's something you think is underrated?
Okay, here's where I'm going to lose the audience because I don't think they'll agree. Because because I've been so avidly for so long against crowdfunding. I just started a crowdfunding campaign and I was so ready to just hate it and like be biting my teeth through the whole thing that I like did everything I could to prepare myself. Like almost like I'm, you know, preparing for like a colposcopy or something. I'm like, it's going to suck, but I have to do it. But it started this week and it's been a really positive experience. So I feel bad for all the times I just judged people for doing it.
For crowdfunding?
Yeah, I'm crowdfunding my short film that I'm directing. And I talked to friends who've done like successful campaigns and asked them, like, tell me the truth. Like, what's the shittiest part? And most of them were like, it really is just getting over your shame. And I'm like, all right, we'll get over the shame. And then the part that I didn't realize that was great is being able to build your audience before the film is out. So I'm already building like followers who liked my stuff. With my last short, I really was like, keep it under wraps until it's in a festival, then announce it. And that seemed cool at the time. But then we were like, oh, scrambling to, you know, figure out how to get people to come see it and get it out there. And there's, I don't know, I think that my pride, I had to just squash it. And now I realize the benefits of crowdfunding aren't just to get it funded, but it's to find community and like actually create an audience together. So I don't know, I like it so far.
That's very cool.
We'll see if I actually make my goal. I might be crying in 4 weeks.
Fine. We'll put the information so we could all contribute, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you. That is why I'm here. No, I'm just kidding, but kind of.
Yeah, every story we talk about after this, you're like, yeah. But here's the thing about crowdfunding.
Short film.
Yeah.
did you put the script out there? How much are you giving to people versus like withholding? Because I'd imagine that's like a balance, right?
Yeah. So I did take a look at other people's campaigns and went through it. I do it through Seed and Spark, and they do a really good job of they have a very inclusive filmmaking community, and they also have like these like online videos, which at first I was like, I don't want to watch it, but then I did, and they're great, and they give you tips on like best practices. So I didn't put the script out, but I kind of explained the story pretty much through. It's not like there's a huge twist or anything, but I figured, you know, a lot of people are going to still watch it for the first time, and then the people who want to be a part of making it, I think they should know what it is. But yeah, I mean, it's a comedy and it has comedians in it. So I think people know the actors like Vanessa Gonzalez, Megan Gailey. There's a ton of great people in it. So
hey.
So people see it and they know who they are and they know me. So
right.
I think they're supporting like us, but
yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah. Getting over that shame though.
Woo.
Yeah.
Can't tell you how much my therapy goes into that shit, especially, you know, many cultures have their version, but Asian shame is like a whole other shit I've had to like really navigate to be able to sort of liberate myself emotionally from things that I was putting in my own head from growing up in a very shame-based culture. But yeah, I'm glad to hear you overcame that in order to like really embrace something that's for you and something that's going to enrich your life.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, we'll look in the show notes for a link to information about Teresa's short film and how you can get involved with helping her make it. We are going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4. Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350 plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s. Dance away with hip-hop beats and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com. or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
And we're back. And Miles, you brought this article in Vice to my attention about people who are developing, it's sociogenic, also called functional disorders. I've called them psychogenic before because, you know, that's what they're referred to in some places because the cause tends to be located in the brain. But it's basically people who are developing tics based on who they follow on TikTok, who and like people they follow on TikTok having tics and like that. The article also talks about people who can read an article about someone with MS and then start developing the symptoms of MS. So like similar kind of cognitive basis for physical illnesses. And this hit at the same time that like this is starting to become taken more seriously in the Havana syndrome conversation. So
And the whole thing with this, like they said, like Jen's, there's a lot of young people between like 12 and 25 that have developed like physical tics. And a lot of these kids were possibly convinced that they had Tourette's or something like that. But when they would go to doctors who specialize in it, they're like, this technically isn't Tourette's. It is a physical tic, but this wouldn't essentially be Tourette's because that would develop at a much earlier age for someone. And these specialists who, like, as they say, their whole thing is about Tourette's. They've said that they've seen referrals for these kind of like rapid onset of like physical tics. It used to just be around 1-5% of their total cases before the pandemic. It's now 20-35% of their cases now. And the researchers, they quote, describe a quote, parallel pandemic of young people aged 12 to 25, almost exclusively girls and women presenting with the rapid onset of complex motor and vocal tic-like behaviors. There have been striking commonalities in the phenomenology of these tic-like behaviors observed across our centers in Canada, the United States, the UK, Germany, and Australia. Curiously, the researchers state that for the patients they studied, in addition to experiencing pandemic-related stressors, all endorsed exposure to influencers on social media, mainly TikTok, with tics or Tourette's syndrome. So it's like this weird thing where they're, you know, a lot of people who develop these tics are saying, you know, people don't believe them, or people with Tourette's are like, that's not Tourette's, like you're faking this shit. And it's like causing a lot of distress and things like that. But these experts are really finding this thing of like the isolation and just general stress for certain people has created this environment in which they're now sort of like the content that they've been exposed to on TikTok is feeding into that now.
I didn't know there was a TikTok, but this, the interesting thing about that is it, I feel like there is some sort of subconscious survival mechanism there, even though it doesn't make sense to us because it sounds like tics would be quote unquote negative in our sense. But if you're watching what you consider like an influencer or socially, you know, a higher up than you or someone you admire and you're a teenage girl, like one of the most important things at that time for survival is to feel accepted. So I could totally draw the line. I mean, I'm not a scientist. This could be wrong. But my first thought is, subconsciously, your body wants to like adapt and fit in. So it would pick that up. Because I remember when we were in high school, people were saying, speaking like Valley Girls, there was a girl who faked her voice all through high school. Just like it wasn't her real voice, but she would just fake it and she would never go break character. But when she was younger, it wasn't like that.
Right.
It was just to sound like a little more like a girly girl. Like that was the whole thing.
And it's wild because it's, you know, they've tried to figure out from every level, like, is it really this? But they keep going back to the thing that they said in some cases, the patient specifically identified an association between these media exposures and the onset of their symptoms.
Mm. Yeah.
So it's just this back and forth between the psychological, emotional and physical that are all kind of manifesting into this other, you know, they say like in a mini pandemic within the pandemic.
Yeah.
I guess I'm curious if it's dangerous. I mean, I understand anything unknown is scary and we want, especially if it's spreading that fast. But, and like definitely something about this is unsettling, but I'm curious why they've like named it an epidemic. Like is my understanding that there are a lot of ticks that are harmless that might just be annoying.
Right.
Or not annoying, some people, but like,
Right. And some people report ones that are way more violent. And like they will hit themselves or they're, you know, and it could be something from just some people were just saying beans a lot. Other people would just like, you know, have other things like scrunching their nose or other sort of physical tics. But it ran the entire spectrum of these sort of involuntary movements.
So this Havana Syndrome article that kind of approaches it from this perspective speaks with a lot of people who are experts on what they call functional disorders. And they say that it's like not like to approach it as like, okay, so this is expressing like some subconscious need or is kind of counterproductive because it's really like more about approaching it from the neurological perspective. Mm-hmm. And they like tell the story of this guy who just like suddenly started having really bad lower back pain and fever and chills and then like went to the hospital and like they couldn't figure out what was wrong with him. And he like couldn't for a year and a half, like nobody knew what was wrong with him. It was like he couldn't walk anymore. And then this expert was just like, no, it's not like it's not a thing. The doctors eventually were like, it's psychogenic. It's starting in your brain. Mm-hmm. And he was like, fuck you, because that's like there's a stigma to it. And it sounds like, oh, you're making it up. And that's right, not what's happening. What's happening, it is something that is happening to you.
Yeah.
You have no control over it. The brain is this massive, massive, like more massive than we can possibly comprehend, machine with like so much happening. And we only have like access to like a small little pinhole of consciousness. Mm. And so you're not choosing anything. This is something that's happening to you. And that seems like basically the scientific consensus at this point, even though like the way that the New Yorker and some other New York Times articles have covered it has been like, well, these doctors think it's this brain injury caused by microwaves. Like anybody who's an expert says like it's impossible. What you're talking about is physically impossible. The sound waves thing, people are still calling it ultrasound. They point out that like when we use ultrasound on like a pregnant woman's belly, like that gel is there because mm-hmm. if there's a single little pocket of air in between like the ultrasound and the thing it's trying to reach, it'll completely destroy it. Like ultrasound can't travel through air. Sound can't travel through air in an effective way. Microwaves, same deal. Like you would basically feel like you were being cooked in a microwave oven, not like you are having a very specific targeted thing in your brain. The other thing they point to is that with these functional disorders, like the symptoms usually last longer than a physical injury because what's happening is it's like getting locked into because of like stress and fear and like social conditions, it's getting locked into like neurological pathways and then you can't get out of them because it's not actually a physical thing that you're recovering from. So like with regards to Havana, they said one of the reasons that they can tell that it's a functional disorder is that the people Like, if all these people had just been, like, hit on the head with something very heavy, like, that's not what happened. Right. But, like, they were saying they, like, had brain trauma. If everybody had suffered brain trauma at the time that they felt like they had been attacked, they would have healed within weeks. But instead, they're still experiencing these symptoms, like, years later. And so they're but like, that is a textbook yeah. sign that this is a functional disorder.
It's just wild that they, because even as you're saying that, like, there's phrases like, oh, it's in your head, right? Which we come to know as like, you're making it up. But mm-hmm. then when you said it in a scientific way, like it's something happening in the brain, we're like, yeah, that's a physical part of your body. It's actually a pretty important part of your body.
Right.
Something, it also does other things, right? Like regulate your blood flow or whatever. Like it does other things that we're not like, can't believe you lifted your arm. It's all in your head. It's like, right. yeah, no, yeah. my brain told me to lift my arm so that I can answer this question. Why is that different from like, it's hurting my back, except in this case, I don't know why. Like, just right. because it came from my brain doesn't mean I'm an asshole who's doing this right. to waste your time, doctor. You know, right. med bills yeah. are expensive. So I find that like is such a strange cognitive dissonance of our healthcare system. I think people get so scared to be like seen as like hokey or like veering into like any alternative medicine that we forget that there are a lot of old ways, ancient medicine, ancient learnings that aren't perfect, but neither are Western medicines. And like, if we just take that line away and just look at more truth, we can bridge the gap and figure out more things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or in this case, just being able to not revert to like this very yeah. rigid way of diagnosing things, like where, well, yeah. you know, like really, and to your point of being open to things like, yeah, this, if they're saying it, it's, we should also know that it's very quite possible that they're experiencing something that is not known to me because I might not have an area of expertise in this place, but take this person's word for it rather than saying like, ah, yeah, whatever. You're fucking tripping.
Yeah.
There's a lot more research now about like what like EMDR and all that stuff about how you can actually reprocess those patterns that don't get stored correctly. And it's a little different than this, but it sounds similar when you said it, there's like a path kind of that gets glitchy and you repeat a glitch over and over. It's yeah, very similar it's to
addiction.
Me.
Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Addiction therapy is like very similar, but so this guy, Jason Lindsley, who now is like openly like I suffered from this thing called a functional movement disorder for a year and a half. The way that he treated it was he met with this guy who's an expert, or actually it's a woman in Louisville, Kentucky, who's an expert who basically just did these, like got him to be on board with it. It's like, no, it's not a mental thing. It's a neurological like brain thing that like you have no control over. They like put him through these therapies that were just about like motor retraining designed to overcome his resistance to normal movements. Physical therapists began by asking him to take minuscule movements of his feet. Mm. And he spent part of each day undergoing cognitive behavioral therapy. And like a week later, he walked out of the clinic like nothing had ever been wrong with him. And wow. So it's... Yeah. And he's like, yeah, that's what it was. It was a functional disorder. That doesn't mean like I had something wrong with me.
Right.
It's just that's a thing that happens. I do think it's interesting that we're seeing more and more of these functional disorders at a time when we're having more and more, you know, Teresa, like you were saying, like kind of having to sublimate and like deal with stress and like use cognitive dissonance just to get through our day-to-day lives, like just having to deal with the fact that we live on a planet that is like dying and nobody's doing anything about it. And you know, it just seems like there's more internal stress that we're not able to address or even express mm-hmm. in our day-to-day lives than ever before. So it kind of makes sense to me that we would be having these things like kind of coming out of our unconscious and attacking our body more than we have in the past.
Well, and the age is interesting too, because like, I think I'm just beyond that age where even though I can be internet savvy, most of my development years were spent in the real world. Like, you know, the screens and apps weren't as big. Whereas with the pandemic plus the internet age, Gen Z, I think virtually in their brain don't distinguish an interaction online versus in real life. Like they can tell you it is. It's not like they're like, I can't tell. But in terms of like, if someone confesses their love, if someone bullies them, I think that in their brain, it has that same effect.
They're hitting the same spot. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Whereas for me, it might be different because I remember, you know, wanting to go to the school dances and getting and flirting in person. I've had my share of flirting online, but it's a little bit different because I was older. You know what I mean? Like I didn't have,
right.
It's not like that like first introduction to those sensations. So I feel like that must be a part of it too, because they're online and they're developing by watching. Whereas we can just scroll past thinking, oh, it's just like a character on a screen.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's just, yeah, but there, I mean, I was definitely like, I modeled shit off of TV when I was younger. So it, there may be
the Jim
just
Carrey
different
face,
versions.
I was going around everywhere going like,
somebody stop me. I know. I know. We've seen the tattoo. But the whole thing with this.
My whole like, green mask tattoo? Yeah.
Yeah. We're like, yo, get that lasered off or what?
Miles still enters every room like Kramer. Kicks in the door and slides
up. Yeah. Whoa. When I say, hey, what's up, Jerry? And they're like, what's up, Jerry? Huh? Nothing. Anyway. No, but this, it, yeah, these differences are, I think we're starting to see, right? Like we're in an age where there are people who have been interacting with screens and apps that are designed to manipulate your brain. And then you're adding these the isolation of a pandemic plus like the lack of social contact and additional stress and things like that. It's, I can only imagine like that this is probably some, we're seeing an experiment basically play out on some level of trying to understand like how all of these things may interact at a certain age. But yeah, it's
but I mean, it's definitely so untied. The Havana syndrome thing's happening to like grown adult bureaucrats, like kind of the opposite end of the spectrum from young teenage people who are on TikTok. But it's still, I always want to like kind of resist the urge to blame technology, even though I know there's like a lot of new shit happening. Like I do think that just across the board, everybody's under more stress than they've ever been under. And it's like stress that nobody's acknowledging kind of is my
right. You guys got to shake it out. Okay. Look, I know it sounds silly.
It's on your head.
I used to just like when I get sad, I would just start like shaking my butt, and I thought that was funny. But over the pandemic, I started realizing that this isn't just a weird thing I do. I think it's like a smart thing I do. I think it's like the stress needs to come out some way. So shake your butt at home, guys. Do it safe. Shake your butt to yourself. Okay, don't flash anybody that doesn't want to be flashed.
What do you mean when you shake your butt? Are you like half? Are you like, what do you mean? You just like going like this, like wiggling and trying to shake your butt? Are you doing a dance? Like what?
I wish my computer wasn't slow because I could hear you were shaking, but I could not see it. I could just see you frozen.
Right.
It's like since I was a kid, I know it sounds ridiculous that as an adult woman, I'm like, I'm shaking my butt. But like babies literally will like shake their butt like that, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've grown up to actually dance and twerk and whatever. So yeah, I'll put on music I like and like actually start to move around and feel myself, you know, like, this is a fun move, whatever.
Yeah.
But I'll do that sometimes for like 10 minutes while I'm cooking and just, it seems silly, but during pandemic when I was like the most isolated, it was almost like a daily thing. It just, I'll just get the urge to do it. And I think it was literally my body being like, time to get all the news of today out through your butt.
Right.
Like, just shit it out, you know,
get the news out through your butt.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hey, there's your cult. Yo, there's your cult. Yeah. There's your cult, though. You get people shaking their butts and like, you know, you give them like information. Right. They process information, but then process that through butt wiggling.
But I could go for that. We're getting closer to a cult. I might actually take on. So yeah, you know, I could do that.
Brick by brick, we're gonna build this thing.
But at first when you said you feel sad, you shake your butt. I was just picturing someone like crying while like just sadly shaking
their
butt.
That's not too far off, Jack.
All right, let's talk about Texas. After the Supreme Court basically made it official that they're planning to overturn Roe and decided to allow this like vigilante law to go forward. I've been surprised by the lack of just urgency on the part of like, it keeps getting knocked out of off the like top of news sites and eventually like Joe Biden and Kamala Harris like used the word abortion in their tweet. But at first they were like, this is, you know, using very vague language. And it reminded me of that thing, that anecdote I always come back to, where the guys from Crooked Media talked about how when they evaluate candidates for political office, the first thing they do is check the person's phone and add up the amount of money in their contact list, because it's all about fundraising. And this gives them something to fundraise on. Like the Democrats know that this is a salient issue where they have the majority on their side. And rather than being like, okay, it's fucking code red, let's like figure out how to solve this problem immediately. So an entire state that is massive, that takes like fucking days to drive across, has not like functionally made abortion illegal. And instead, I've read like headlines even that are like, Democrats are like, you know, reeling and yet like feel like they have a winner for the midterms, basically. And mm-hmm. it's just like, fuck that. Like, that
it's
is
all just business for them.
Right. It's all just, yeah. you know, getting to hold on to power. And like, I don't know. Why be in power if you're not going to fucking do anything when the people who vote for you are directly attacked?
Yeah. I think
they want to keep us scared.
Right.
Yeah, and there's also just a whole group of politicians who are not there to actually do anything that helps people. They just were like, I want to win an election and I want to go and I want to be in Congress. And then from there, I'll just figure out like which PACs and lobbyists I can cozy up with to keep me from having to fundraise on the road, because they'll bundle up a bunch of donations for me to keep me in office. And I can just be the most semi-powerful person in my region of the country. And you can tell, because it's just all Joe Biden said that law. He said the bill is, quote, almost un-American. He said almost.
He's very much like, even after the insurrection, what did he say? Like, that's not us. I'm like, no, that literally is us. Like, you can't, you have to like, it is you. I'm sorry, but I don't like it either. But you can't just be like, yeah, I'm just going to pick and choose the things I want to represent and the things I don't.
And we have all of these pressing fucking problems. And yet you go on fucking ABC News right now, you got to scroll way down before the word abortion shows up. You got to scroll other websites. They're talking about, you know, granted, there's a natural disaster happening. That's fine. But there's also, this is a huge issue that's affecting many people in the country and putting a lot of people at risk. And the potential for that to multiply across many states is a very real thing. But it's just easier to be like, oh, man, the weather's bad, and not tying it to climate change and not tying it to how the administration is like not really doing much in that regard either. Or, you know, maybe you can run more headlines about how the U.S. spent $21 trillion after 9/11, you know, fighting whatever this war on terrorism was, and think of all of the outcomes that could have occurred for other people had maybe if a fraction of that been invested. Because we have people like Joe Manchin who are shitting the bed over $3.5 trillion when the plan is to have that paid for with taxes and to provide people with things like, you know, paid childcare, 2 years of community college, things that are trying to address really big issues. And, you know, we're just, I don't know, like, I don't know if the media, clearly the media is not built to create the outrage that's necessary, but there needs to be a lot more people getting involved in so many things now, because it's clear that we can't rely on these fucking people in DC.
Can't rely on the government.
They're on their own pace. They're at their own pace.
Yeah.
I think you said what you said about them just focusing on winning, like, really speaks to me, because it's like, people used to be like, you're not present, or like, you have to not be anxious, you have to learn how to be present. I'm like, blah, blah, blah. That's some like Eckhart Tolle shit. But I do think it applies here, because if you spend your entire, you know, campaign trying to get elected, that's your goal, and then you get elected and then you spend the whole time trying not to lose your seat, you never spend any time just being a leader. And really, to get elected, you should spend all of your time in your campaign already being a leader, right? And that's how you get elected, instead of trying to get elected. And then once you're there, you should just continue being a leader. But instead, we have all these people who are just like, for maybe 1 second, their acceptance speech, that's when they like are the most in the moment and actually get to be like, I will do what I say. And then immediately they're like, now I cannot lose. So now I must focus on not losing.
On not like, saying anything too hot to not fuck up my poll numbers. So I will retreat to this de facto sort of system of just business as usual to not rock the boat too much. Because if you think about it, if you're a politician, there there will be a fork in the road where you choose to either engage with all of the chaos that is that your constituents are facing, and to have to make a good faith effort to try and hear those concerns and figure out how you can help them. Or you're just like, man, fuck it, man. There's so much shit going on. Like, let me just get on the fucking committee and like just collect money from that industry and fucking like let the, if you want to do the heavy shit, then go be on that committee. Cause I can't. You know, and you
it's
can
like
tell.
Actually swinging and missing is better. Like, I don't know. Maybe we should just put all of Congress in a like a baseball league or something. They have to all play each other. So every week, at least somebody loses. Get them over their fucking fear of losing. Make them lose in basketball every week. And then they're not going to focus on losing their election.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, and I think that's why, you know, when we're looking at this issue as it relates to Texas, it's massively important. You know, if you believe that there's a way that we can somehow with this two-party system arrive at a place that provides the outcomes that are like, you know, actually beneficial to people, like, you know, you then if that's the case, then really look at the kinds of people who you vote for. If you're going to vote and participate in an election, know who you're sending to office, because most people, you know, it's like an afterthought. And I think that's why a lot of people are saying, like, you know, if you're going to. Sadly, they're stuck in this very cynical game of just like winning elections and not, you know, providing for people. Then, you know, then maybe the biggest weapon Democrats have is just force a vote and put everybody on the record on how they to codify Roe versus Wade, put them on the record. And then for them, because, again, everything's about what they can use in the next election, then you can use this no vote for access to abortions to try and defeat other candidates. But it's
it's obviously like, yeah, we're Democratic supposedly, so we'll go vote. But it's tough when an entire party's like MO is to like spend money to make sure some people don't vote. It's like, perhaps that might not be in any voter's best interest, you know? And I think that really speaks to how far we've come when there's just the whole Republican Party is like just trying to suppress voters because.
Right.
They're not even trying to like, they believe, I mean, they claim moral high ground, and I'm all for having true discussions about morality. But in those ones, I think you let the truth lead. You don't win them by going and shut up. Like, it's like, if you really think, if you really think you're on some moral high ground, I welcome that conversation.
But they know they're not. So then you have to resort to fuckery. So
like there's things I don't agree with, but I wouldn't make illegal. You know, I think parenting should be illegal for everyone because, you know, most parents are bad, except for you, Jack.
Parenting is illegal.
But I'm not out here proposing parenting to be illegal. So, you know.
But yeah, I mean, this just the Democratic Party not doing anything, the mainstream media kind of not raising the alarm here is really underlines the need for, like, you know, dual powers we've talked about in recent episodes, and like just actually creating, you know, finding people who are doing things on the ground in Texas to help women who don't have access to abortions, finding ways to contribute directly, because waiting to vote just doesn't, we're voting in people who then won't do anything because they recognize that this issue is beneficial to them.
Like, right.
It's just that whole part of the American system is feeling more and more just fucking pointless at this point.
Yeah. And it's like anything, right? Any most marginalized groups in this country who have fucking screamed at the top of their lungs for some just shred of dignity to be offered to them. It's like, yeah, we're going to get to that. Make sure you vote in 3 years.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I'm dying now.
Right.
So what about now? Oh, man. Well, you got to vote. You got to make sure. That's why it's really important to make sure, you know, well, that doesn't help. So then you have to really think about then what is that? Like, where is the help happening? And it's going to be in a lot of organizations that are on the ground who are already trying to, you know, like if it's the like just numerous organizations, like what's the one I'm thinking of? Oh, like If, When, How, which is like the legal defense fund that is just being like, yo, you got legal issues as it relates to like abortion access? Hit us up. Like, this is what we do, and we provide these services for free because we know that this is how we can help someone in the immediate like future deal with something. Because there are already reports that abortion clinics outside of Texas are already seeing a surge of people fleeing Texas to get access to an abortion.
Yeah.
So we like the the thing isn't to just merely be like, oh, fuck, like, well, maybe Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer will figure something out. Like, the age to, like, activism is truly what we need in every arena of this country we live in, as it relates to inequality, as it relates to racism, as it relates to rights for LGBTQ people, as it relates to abortion access. Like, activism and involvement is truly the way you are going to be able to participate in some positive way and be able to be a part of a cog in this larger movement that will help people. And it doesn't mean you have to, and again, I said this even last summer when people were like, well, what do you do about white supremacy? You don't have to go fight some Nazis, or you don't have to go to an abortion clinic and beat up a bunch of people. But there are ways to get them. Just don't stand by and watch. Like, if, let's say you're saying, well, maybe I'm comfortable going to a protest. Maybe you can donate some things to the organizations that need things to provide people with access. Maybe you can make a donation. Maybe you can organize your friend group and say, hey, I just know that all 15 of us are on the same page, and I know that we know this is a serious issue. I want to make sure we are actively giving something to this, whether it's going to be our time or our money or our talents or whatever, that there are ways to contribute and be and feel and, you know, actually play an active role in something, then, because you're damn sure not going to get it from waiting on whatever's going to happen on the Hill.
Yeah, I think that's well said. Like, it's not about, because I think, as comedians, we're often like, we will jump into extremes and radicalize. But I think there's a lot to be said about someone who is like comfortable saying they're uncomfortable, because that's actually how you get real change. Is if everyone suddenly became extreme, then we get that binary, right? Like, oh, someone who absolutely doesn't think it pertains to them is just going to ignore a whole mob outside, no matter how big it gets. But if it's their friends actually having conversations like, oh, I'm starting to think differently, then they actually get to incrementally change. Like, I think we hear about all these organizations helping and they are doing great stuff. But sometimes you get lost, like on the upper class thinking like, oh, these all exist. People don't know about them. Like, I recently started driving Uber and just put some like community resources in the car, because I had learned about more during just volunteering more during the pandemic that I hadn't even known about. And I like what they're doing. There's like Sella, you know, you can get free showers, things like that around LA. And I drove two people who they weren't like, they were living in an encampment, but it seemed like they had their own community, and they saw it and they're like, oh, this is cool. I didn't know that. And it was like right in the neighborhood. And I realized, like, to me, it's not just about like, oh, today I'm going to go do service. It's about just constantly being like, hey, this is a community I'm part of. And you never know when you're going to cross paths with someone who didn't know about a resource that someone is spending a bunch of money trying to get out there, you know?
Right.
So I think just being open to talking to people outside of like your quote unquote service hours is another way to look at it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And even like, if you have like, let's say you're like, oh, well, I don't know if I'm comfortable going and like getting super in the faces of people and doing that. Well, you can give a testimony at a public hearing in support of these things. You can use your voice to express support. Maybe you're an artist. You can maybe just create some art around it, because now you're trying to add something to the conversation. But there are ways for people to be more actively thinking about what your place is in a certain given movement for some form of equality. And it's not always the version that they just show you on TV, which is people fighting in the street. Like, there are so many ways to get involved, or you're just there for somebody saying, hey, if you ever need childcare, you know, like, I'm there for you to do so you can go do something. It's not just, you know, the three ways to get involved. So we'll definitely have some links to like organizations that are on the ground in Texas who are actively thinking of, what do we do? Is it, you know, because many people are already thinking, how do we evolve our shit based on these laws?
Yeah.
And it's going to take resources. And if you may have something to offer locally, you might say, hey, man, I live in Texas and I have time to drive. I actually have a couple vans I can let y'all use to get people around. That's just easy. That's a way that you can still actively contribute to something. And it might not be in the way you were thinking that you were afraid of, but you probably have the heart to say, I have time to drive someone. I have time to watch someone's kids. I have time to donate. And so think of that as well, because this is a really harrowing time. And because we're facing an omni crisis where everything is in a state of free fall, it feels like that it's so easy to feel apathetic about things. But just know that there are ways to feel good about this. Not to say that this situation is good, but you can contribute positively.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a Reddit thread where people are talking about just finding a way to render the reporting system useless because this is a publicly fueled, public reporting fueled law. So, you know, nothing's to stop people from getting on a VPN, you know, looking like they're from Texas and just flooding it with false reports. I'm not advocating that because I don't know if it's illegal, but that's an example of, you know, the sort of shit that makes sense to me, at least.
Well, yeah, because I mean, you can, aren't you able to sue from outside the state, though, too?
I think so. But I'm sure they can, like, sift based on, like, where you're coming from. And, like, if they see that, like, a bunch of the reports are coming from L.A. that aren't panning out.
Yeah. But, I mean, this is just, yeah, I mean, we're definitely looking at a time when if the Democrats don't have their shit together, it's truly going to fall on our own ability to create community to help each other.
I mean, ultimately, we need a fucking general strike that, like, with something like this that is more popular, like, you could fucking bring the country to its knees if you just have a general strike where everybody who believes that women should have bodily autonomy, like, protected legally, just refused to work until that was a fucking law. Like, that's the sort of thing that it might take to
right.
Jeff, haven't you heard? Nobody wants to work anymore. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
It's impossible to get people to work when you're, I don't know. I hate people keep saying, I'm like, nobody wants to pay. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
No, a bunch of us want to work.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's even harder to do that when we're not quite set up as Americans enough to have those mutual aid networks to be like, if you don't go to work, here's how we can take care of you. Here's how we can get your bills paid. Here's how you can get food, because this is how we're going to shut shit down. But at the same time, you know, it's about having the mindfulness to understand that, like, more and more people are going to have to get in a place where they understand how they themselves can get organized to ensure positive outcomes for people, because fucking waiting on the folks over in D.C. is just,
yeah,
it's not fast enough. And they've demonstrated time and again that they don't have the will to act fast enough, because unfortunately, that's just the way this system is fucking built. It's not going to get radical change overnight like that.
Yeah.
Because there will always be people like the Joe Manchins of the world that are set to be obstacles to, and one person somehow has the power to slow down, or perceived power to slow down, real progress.
But it just seems like the internet and, you know, all the social media tools are being used for fucking organizing QAnon shit and not for organizing, like, general strikes and shit that could actually help. So I don't know.
Well, there are. I mean, there's definitely active campaigns. I think the problem is we're, as Americans, people aren't quite in tune with their power.
Here, right.
Because we take everything for granted in this country. And because of that, there's, like, this huge, there for many people, especially, like, you know, upper middle class people, they're, it's just, like, so abstract of this idea of, like, what to do to take things back or how you can exercise that power. But I think, as you know, we see the suffering continue across the country, you are seeing more and more people figuring out that we're going to have to rely on each other in some way. But I think the vocabulary might not be there yet.
Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about less important bullshit.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, We've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
And we're back. And let's just go right to Moonfall.
Mm-hmm.
Teresa, oh, you yes. just watched the trailer.
Yeah. Just now. Oh, God. If you guys can't see, there's a huge smile on my face. This is ridiculous.
First of all, I got to say, nailed the name. It does appear to be about the moon falling.
Okay. All right.
A plus for that.
There's two points there.
They did not nail the size of the moon. The moon appears to be the same size as the planet Earth in the trailer, which I don't think is accurate. But
no, I like you go, which I don't think is accurate. Yeah. You can be unequivocal that there's like, yo, that is not the size of the fucking moon when it's next to Earth like that.
Wild.
Yeah, this is the trailers get kookier and Roland Emmerich hits us just with another fucking bizarro way to just worry about how the world could end in a very inaccurate way. But hey, that's his forte.
Roland Emmerich is the guy who brought us Independence Day. He brought us 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And
Day After Tomorrow, is that him too?
Day After Tomorrow. Which got the science behind climate change slightly wrong. But
that's his thing though, you know?
Yeah.
He's like, fuck science, man. I'm just here for the visuals.
I feel, I love the moon, I gotta say. Don't love the idea of this, but what I do love about it is my prediction that for the next Fast and the Furious was either time travel or space. They've already kind of gone to space, but I feel like we're going to get a Jules Verne Center of the Earth at some point with Vin Diesel. And this is making me very hopeful for that happening soon. So I will say this is not the movie we want, but the movie we need, because I need it to set the stage for others to be able to do that.
Oh, got it. So this is the sort of catalyst for a space or inner core Earth themed Fast and Furious film.
Yeah, this is like the existence to the Matrix, recently watched Existence. So, artistic, but why? Somebody needs to check on him. And his son did make a better show. It's wild. Okay, I don't even want to get into that. It's too obscure. But it's like this weird Matrix, these video game simulation where there's fucking of a belly button. It's too weird. But I feel like this is that to whatever the next... What the next thing is that's good
is this bad thing.
Take elements that were planted in this, right. And Does this make sense?
Yeah. I mean, it's a domino effect, essentially, is what we're talking about here. I get it.
I also think the space thing, the sperm thing. I know it sounded like a joke, but every time these movies come out, I'm like, you guys do see it, right? This fear of being born, this fear of the out. It's like, come on. Space is not that complicated.
So there's a couple of things in addition, the moon crashing into the Earth seems like it would be enough. It would be enough for me to keep me entertained for an hour and a half. But there are some additional angles here. They find out that our moon is not what we think it is. The live. If it turns out to be a cake, I'm going to be pissed.
We'll be so happy, though, in that scene when it's like, "It don't worry, guys. It's just cake. It's just a bunch of cake."
There's ghost children or like something in the trailer. So maybe they're doing like an interstellar thing where like love is a fucking it's a space constant or something.
Right.
But yeah, they got the size of the moon wrong. They also have a character who is a conspiracy theorist who like gets things right, which this also happened in Godzilla vs. Kong. Yeah. Kong vs. Godzilla. I'm very like this. How could you still think that is a good idea for a character? Like at a time when we are like suffering from conspiracy theorists refusing to take a critical vaccine for like scientifically made up reasons.
But
we're going to make a movie where like we're going to make movies where mainstream media conspiracy theorists are like secretly right all along and the heroes like fuck off. Are you
right? That the
me?
Moon could crash into Earth rather than accepted sciences. If anything were to knock the fucking moon off of its gravitational like orbit, it would destroy the moon. And then we would just get pieces of moon shit landing on Earth. That's how it would happen.
I love that, like, in this universe, in the trailer, it's like, the moon's gonna hit the Earth, and then they zoom in on a car. Like, we're gonna fucking care about cars when the moon is... Like, it's like,
these
killing machines humans made. It's like, do you know how ridiculous a car would look in space? I mean, I know I was talking about the Fast and Furious, but it's like, we are so full of ourselves. Right. Do you know how big... space is like nobody cares about your car. It's like your little heart blood cell like leaving the body and being like, I'm floating. Oh, man. You need me. It's like, no, you don't. It's your fucking blood cell.
They crushed one of those 2022 Ford Broncos. Those are so hard to get. Roland.
I'm just glad Halle Berry's working. I'm happy for her. I did love that scene of Patrick Wilson looking concerned about his career. He's like, what am I doing in this movie? Do they really need another white man? You know, and he's like, he gets it. You know, that look, it said it to me. It spoke to me.
Right. But this is kind of his thing, right? Roland Emmerich is just like, he makes movies to just entertain conspiracy theories, it seems like.
Yeah, and they're all like somewhat problematic conspiracy, not always, but like, third act of Independence Day took place at Area 51. He made that Stargate movie, which propagated the racist theory that the pyramids must have been built by aliens because white people didn't build them, so they must have had alien help. He made the movie Anonymous based on the theory that a highborn Earl Edward de Vere actually wrote all of Shakespeare's plays, which is that conspiracy theory comes from people being like, it couldn't be Shakespeare couldn't have been a mere actor. He must have been like somebody who was highborn. It's like started by the fucking House of Lords.
At one point it's going to come back around and we're going to get just like a powerful black writer who's just going to write a movie that captures all the shittiest movie, like all the Michael Bay's, all the, you know, like, and it's like, actually I was behind this the whole time, and it's like then we're not, it's like Inception, and you're just gonna be like, it doesn't matter anymore, now we're just gonna like, just, it's stupid, like why do we keep doing this, like it was all a dream, you know. Like it's like,
right.
That being said, I don't even know where I was going with that. Think we're going around in circles of what I'm trying to say. We are one day going to build the pyramids, I am sure of it, and we're going to think that we did it better, but what it is going to be is just the same thing, and then in 20,000 years, it's going to happen all over again. Like, that is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Mm. Which is, just as cyclical as the works of Roland Emmerich, I see. Yeah, like we're on this path.
I'd just say, let's just be present, okay? Can Roland Emmerich just go to, you know, a sound bath or something and fucking catch up with himself?
Well, that's what the thing is. Him and Eckhart Tolle are working on A New World, which is the sequel to this. So, yeah, buckle your spiritual safety belts.
I want to say I almost guarantee that Roland Emmerich like has just the most problematic like beliefs and politics and ideas. Our writer J.M. McNabb was pointing out that like at least. Like Spielberg, the Shakespeare of our time, Steven Spielberg, like at least his movies are about how like people in power fuck up. like Jaws and Jurassic Park. Like Jaws was such a perfect metaphor for fucking COVID and how we fucked that up.
Oh, that's right. The other thing was they said that in the new like Independence Day that Roland Emmerich was whitewashing Stonewall too.
Oh my God.
Because like a white guy was like the one kicking off Stonewall and shit.
Oh, that's in, he made a Stonewall movie, I think.
Oh, is that what it is?
Wait.
Yeah, he made a Stonewall movie.
Or is it, oh, that's, was it called Stonewall?
Yeah, it was called Stonewall. And instead of a...
yeah, I don't know why that would be an Independence Day. I was high, but I don't remember that scene.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think I've seen that much of Roland Emmerich's stuff, to be honest.
That's the only movie that he made that Stonewall is the only movie that he made that was not like a massive like blockbuster disaster movie. And
The Patriot.
Did he make The Patriot?
I think so.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's Mel Gibson, right? In it?
Yeah.
I feel like I was so, I remember that and then also remember not watching it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I was like, I don't care, bro. Like,
it was like nothing I was interested in. At
not
that
sexy
age.
To me. So yeah, I'm curious to know what his next one's going to be. It's going to be about critical race theory. Just wait.
I think it's interesting what you said about Spielberg being like challenging power, because in like movies like Jaws, you get, even though it's like whatever at old times, like a bunch of white guys, it is there is like the truth comes through. There's always like the mass doesn't believe the truth, and there's always sort of like the money hungry person. Like it still exposes that. Whereas like in these kinds of movies, they're like working with the government, and it's like the authorities are correct and it's up to you to save the world being America, because America is the world. Like it's this right, weird right. fake reality where nobody actually exposes
right. scientists,
yeah. yeah.
And one so, where it's like, dude, scientists don't know what they're talking about. This so podcaster weird. Does.
Yeah.
Like, it's, yes, yes, yes. I love this shit.
God. Well, Teresa, as always, such a pleasure having you. Where can people find you and follow you?
You can find me on Instagram at Teresa Lee Bott, and you can find my short film. It's called Get Loved Short, or Get Loved Film on Instagram. And yeah, I hope you guys enjoy it and donate to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's a fun one. It's about yogurt commercials. It's basically, I say two things about me. I love therapy and I hate capitalism, and it combines both of those things.
There you go.
Damn, I mean, that's, sign me up.
Is there a
we'll find a role for you. What?
Is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
Oh, yeah. Actually, this really did make me laugh last night. And it's from Allison Leiby. And just a sucker for a simple pun tweet. She said, buying an expensive candle is literally lighting money on fire.
That's just pretty good.
Like chef's kiss. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well done. Miles, where can people find you? What's a tweet you've been enjoying?
Twitter, Instagram, at Miles of Gray. Also, if you like 90 Day Fiancé, come by 420 Day Fiancé with Sophia Alexandra and I, where we just get off these takes on the terrible trash reality show that we love so much. A tweet that I like, first one is from Chrissy Grierson. I don't really know who that is, but this tweet went up. It just said, Earth is crying out for help, and the government is worried about my uterus. The math ain't mathin'. That tracks. And another one from Amy Miller, very wonderful friend of the show, at Amy Miller, tweeted, it's just like Jesus said in the Bible, please kidnap anyone that helps someone get an abortion. If you do, you will have enough after taxes to buy a used Nissan Sentra, and both of our abusive dads will be proud of us.
I love it.
All right. Tweet I've been enjoying. At Nuff Said New York tweeted, everything in Virginia named after Robert E. Lee needs to be renamed after Allen Iverson, which I just think is true and needs to happen. And then Estelle Imane tweeted saying, why don't we just print more money in a room full of men just to feel something? You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song do we think people are going to enjoy here on this fine Monday?
Oh, man.
Tuesday,
look,
sorry.
On this fine Tuesday, a lot of albums came out last week. You could get Donda. You could get Certified Lover Boy. But really, The album that you really need to pick up is the one, the new album from Little Sims, called Sometimes I Might Be Introvert. Lil Sims is one of my favorite rappers, singers. She's also was in the last season of Top Boy. She's just like a super talented performer and musician. And her album is fucking dope. Although it also has 19 tracks because, look, the game has changed and everybody has to get in however they can. But this is a really, really dope album. I've gone out on a couple of her other songs before. I think the track Woman was one that we did with Cleo Soul. But this one is called Two Worlds Apart. And you get everything from her. Her, like, melodic delivery and even, you know, some of her, like, more, you know, just gutter, just aggressive rap style. And she's, like, a fantastic lyricist. I can't say enough about her. So check out Lil Sims with Two Worlds Apart.
All right. Well, the Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for us this morning, but we're back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we'll talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.